There are two extremes that meet on Good Friday: the abounding of sin and the abounding of grace. And by the abounding of sin, I'm not thinking primarily of the sin of all of those who were responsible, chiefly responsible for the torture, the crucifying, the mocking of Jesus, the Holy Son of God. But I'm thinking of the sin that was laid on Jesus. Up there on that cross was the sin of the world. The sin of the world. All the thousands of sins committed by the thousands of people through thousands of years, and sins that are still to be committed. The sin of the world, where Jesus was the Lamb of God bearing the sin of the world. It is written, He was made to be sin for us. Now, how does the Holy God react to this abounding of sin? Well, He does what a holy and just God must do. He punishes sin. He punishes that sin even when that sin is found in all its fullness in His beloved Son. Just as Abraham of old did not spare his son Isaac, but took him up to the place of sacrifice and bound him and laid him on the altar, so God did not spare His beloved Son, Jesus, but delivered Him up to the full punishment of all the sin committed by everyone in the world, making Him endure the curse earned by thousands and thousands of human sins. Who can even begin to estimate the contents of that cup that Jesus drank on that day? Now, what is it that makes sin so awful, so terrible, that when laid on Jesus, it leads to the extreme suffering? Just think of who it is that is being sinned against. When sin is committed, it is the Holy God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And who are the sinners, creatures of that Holy God? Made in His own image, put above all other creatures, blessed with goodness, yes, being called very good by God Himself, who is the very good one Himself, who blessed His created sons and daughters with blessings beyond the understanding of us fallen creatures. In order to point out the extreme in sin above or among God's creatures, God gave His prophet Jeremiah a comparison that points out the awfulness of human sin against a holy and perfect God. And the account is related in the 35th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Here we see God comparing Himself to a man named Jonadab, the son of Rechab, whose descendants were called Rechabites. For some reason, Jonadab gave this command to all his descendants, the Rechabites. He said to them, You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. It seems Jonadab was no longer living, no longer able to enforce his orders in any way. He really had no power or authority except being their ancestor. And now God instructed Jeremiah to put these Rechabites to the test. Jeremiah invited the whole house of the Rechabites to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. This is what Jeremiah did. In his own words, I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine. We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters. Now here's God making the comparison. Jonadab was just a man who had died, who had no power or authority. He was not holy or almighty. He certainly was not the creator of heaven and earth. And he had not poured out his blessings on his people as God had poured out blessings on his people. Yet his descendants followed his orders to the letter, even his wives and daughters. God says, they obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, but you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them. But this people has not obeyed me. Do you see how terrible sin is? God is a holy, powerful, loving God who has showered down on his people one blessing after another from the days of the Garden of Eden down to the present. His command to us is that we simply regard and honor him as our God and listen to his commands and obey him. We as his creatures certainly owe him this honor, but we disobey every day in every way. So we understand that this, our sin, must be punished. It must be punished even when it is laid on Jesus, God's perfect and holy Son. There is Jesus hanging on the cross, not being spared one bit by his Holy Father, actually being forsaken by him as guilty of all sin. There on the cross, we see the abounding of sin. And now, go to church tomorrow and Friday and Sunday and behold the other extreme, the abounding of grace. And rejoice in that wonderful truth God revealed to his apostle Paul, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. We sing hymn number 561, stanzas 2 and 3. 561, stanzas 2 and 3.